Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
What up, bitches? Welcome back to Law of Attraction Changed My Life. I am your host, Francesca Amber, and today we are doing a Q&A. Yes, all of your burning questions, I'm going to aim to answer them the best I can. I took these from my book club bitches, and I also posted on my Instagram stories if anyone had any questions. So if you want to ask a question next time, because I do these on the regular when I don't have the brain space, the mental bandwidth to come up with an entire concept for an episode. And also sometimes, I'll tell you what, Q&As are really valuable because sometimes a question can be really important and the answer can be really like life-changing if you take that little nugget of wisdom and actually apply it to your life. But maybe it's not something that can take an entire episode to talk about. And so just because something isn't worthy of like a 30-minute conversation doesn't mean it's any less important. So that's why I absolutely love these little Q&As. But anyway, if you want to come and ask me a question on a future Q&A, I am on Instagram at Francesca Amber and at Law of Attraction Changed My Life. So go and follow if you want to ask a question next time. Anyway, let's get on with the goddamn questions. The first question is from Kay Marie. I'm not reading your entire things, by the way, because so many of you have like KMarie1029_XX5. No, we ain't got time for that shit, but just know that I love and appreciate all of you, but I'm just going to call you KMarie for now. So, do you have a favourite decluttering book or technique, or do you blend them for a best fit? So, this month in the book club, I'm sure you all know because I've been on my Instagram decluttering for my goddamn life, we are doing a decluttering book, and we tend to do one about once a year in the book club. Now, this is not an intentional move on my part. It just seems to be what happens. It just seems to be like around springtime, we're like, let's declutter. Springtime, of course, is the perfect time of the year to make as much space in your life as possible, to welcome in intentionally what you want into your life, and to make way, or rather get fucking rid of anything that is no longer serving you or setting you up to be the kind of person that you want to be in the future. So the first book we ever did was the very, very famous Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo. Now, I did not love this because Marie Kondo's method was, this is a one and done thing that you declutter once and you never need to do it again in your life. Do you know what I say to that, Marie Kondo? I say bullshit. I think that does not work. And I have heard that ever since she's had children, she's now conceded and said, actually, no, this is not a one and done thing. We are constantly evolving in our lives. We are constantly trying out new things. We are constantly changing what interests us and what stage of our lives we're in. And therefore, the things that we have in our homes and the things that we have around us are always changing. You know, when I was younger, I was going out to nightclubs genuinely 5-6 nights a week. Like, that was genuinely my life. How I did not die of alcohol poisoning, we will never know. But I had so many pairs of heels. I had so many going out dresses. Now, as a 39-year-old mum now working from home, my wardrobe is completely different and my social life is completely different. So of course, what was perfect for my home back then, which was having a million and one slutty dresses, and do you know what, I used to wear tresses with a T, and that was a top that could get away with being a dress. That just goes to show you the level of slut I was on back then. Let me live my life. I had a good time. So, of course, we're always changing. If you have young children, you will know that you are always evolving. You're always changing. The toys that suited them 6 months ago are now redundant and they're on to the next thing. The clothes that fitted them 6 months ago, they don't fucking fit anymore. You've got to get rid of them. You need new ones. So we are always evolving and changing and growing. Our interests might change. And therefore, it is impractical to assume that you can only declutter once and then you're done. Like, that's just setting you up for failure and making you think, oh, well, maybe the last time I did it, I didn't do it right. Forget that shit. You did do it right. It's just an ongoing process. Curating and editing your life should be the same kind of process as editing and curating a beautiful collection or a magazine. You know, you are constantly going through and thinking, does this still serve me? Is this still the vibe I'm on? Is this still the aesthetic I'm on? Is this how I'm living my goddamn life? So sorry, to answer your actual to answer your actual question, I'm telling you the book I didn't like. The next decluttering book we did was a self-published queen, one of our own book club bitches, Dominica, and that was called Fuck You Chaos. I really appreciated that title. It's very on brand for me. I absolutely loved that book. I would highly recommend Fuck You Chaos. But the book that we are doing this month in the book club is by Tracy McCubbin, and it's called Make Space for Happiness. And I've never heard of decluttering being talked about in the way that Tracy talks about it. She actually does not even really talk about decluttering itself. She doesn't have a chapter called bathrooms. She doesn't have a chapter called bedrooms. It ain't that vibe. She talks about what magnetizes the clutter to us in the first place and what it is being substituted for. So what we are really looking for in our lives, whether that is deep connection, whether that is love, whether that is fun and adventure, security, whatever it might be, or self-confidence, self-respect, and what we are buying to try and fill those voids. It is a very, very interesting book. I shall leave the link down below. I would highly, highly recommend it. But on the whole, I like to do a big declutter once a year. And I'm always kind of editing all the time anyway. Like, there's always a bag. There's always a big charity bag, like, in my wardrobe. And as I see things that the girls have outgrown, or you know, they'll wear it to nursery and it'll get covered in paint and stains and stuff, and it's like beyond repair, then, you know, it goes in. Well, actually, no, that's a bit disrespectful, isn't it? That doesn't go to charity. That goes in the fabric recycling. But there's always a charity bag on the go. But it is really important to regularly declutter, because honestly, you wouldn't believe how much of your mental bandwidth is being taken up by just the stuff in your home, the stuff that you're walking around, the stuff that you're having to store and clean and move and manage and fix and, oh, all the things. No, thank you. Okay, the next question is from Shana Louisa, and this is a related question. So did you two plan this? I don't know. She asks how to motivate family members to declutter. Now, I've learnt this the hard way, and that is that you can't. Yeah, I think if you try and force your family members to declutter, they are just going to push back harder, because the clutter is there to start with for a reason. My mother, I would say, is a low-key hoarder. She would be very angry at me for saying that. But she is a low-key hoarder, okay? Not high-key, just a low-key one. And the amount of times that I have tried to organize her kitchen cupboards or sort out her shit for her, me and my sister sorted out her spare rooms and they just got filled again. So what I would say is, the same thing I say to people when they say, oh my God, I've discovered the law of attraction and it's fucking life changing and I'm doing all this stuff and how do I bring people along with me? The answer is kind of, you don't. So what you do is you live by example in the most outrageous way that you can. Get rid of 50% of your belongings, work on your self-development, take actions every day to be your best self and show your loved ones, show the ones around you how you can change your life. And their curiosity should pique enough that they will ask you, how'd you do that? How'd you do that then? But I'm also going to give you a spoiler alert. Some people will never fucking ask. My own mother, going back to my lovely mum, who I do love. I love my mum so much, but she ain't never listened to an episode of my podcast. Now, she has seen the journey of this podcast from beginning till now, and she knows where I started, having no money, having lost my business, having two young babies and no free time to do anything to make money, really. Or so I thought. Of course there was time to do something to make money. There always is. But she's seen me go from that to then having this job that I absolutely love and lights me up and fills me with delight, but also have great success with it too. And she ain't never asked. She's never asked what she should do. She's never asked me, how do I manifest, Fran? She's never said to me, what book would you recommend in the book club? She never has. So just come to terms with and make peace with the fact that some people will never fucking ask you, no matter how much you improve your life. But also remembering that you should never do self-development work. You should never do decluttering. You should never do any of this stuff to get people to realize how much your life has changed. Always do it from a place of wanting to improve your own life so radically. And a byproduct could just be that, you know, that they ask. But how to motivate family members to declutter? You don't. That's the short answer. Declutter all your own shit first. And once you are fully decluttered, you know, then you can start to think about them. But even then, don't. So I hope that made sense. Okay, Claire Carenduff, I think, says, how do you work on being visible? You are so good at it. Thank you, Claire Carenduff. You know what your name is. Thank you so much. Do you know what? I think part of it is just not giving a shit. In the past, if I have started speaking to a guy who I know will know who I am on Instagram because, like, he knows my name and everyone stalks people, right, when you first start, I don't know, having a dick appointment or whatever, or certain periods like that, I've become very hyper aware that people I know may be watching my stories or seeing my Instagram or listening to my podcast. And that's when, in my experience, I think it started to become unnatural and I've started to overthink it and I've started to think, oh, well, I won't record any stories today. I won't do anything. I won't show up today because it doesn't feel perfect. Like, I haven't got a spray tan or I haven't done my hair. And I think the lesson is just to show up imperfectly as much as you can and just to be you. And I know that that is so easy to say and so hard to do, but you have to have a layer of just not giving a shit and just saying, this is what I believe in. This is what I want to talk about. And this is me. So show up imperfectly, start as you are, and try not to think about individual people that may see it. So that's another thing I hear all the time is people say, oh, I recorded like this TikTok or I did this sit thing. And then I just thought, oh, people will think I'm a dick for doing it. And so I didn't post it. I know that that's such a hard thing to overcome. When I first started talking about the law of attraction, oh my goodness, 10, 15 years ago, I was doing it on YouTube and I didn't tell anyone. None of my friends knew. And all of my audience, like none of them were my friends or family, like no one really knew. And it was only when I started doing it as a podcast that I actually really like was public about it and you know, started posting it on my own personal profile saying, look, this is what I'm doing. Come and listen if you want. So that probably took me a good 7 years. So I totally feel your pain, but nothing good will come from holding back and worrying what other people will think. Just fucking go for it and just start imperfectly and see how you go. Okay, Nikki Mac 17 says, how do I figure out what I want? I'm in the newborn baby season of life. Number one, God bless your heart. The newborn baby season, just fucking soak it in. Like, be in that season, because I know that this is really annoying when people say this, but that time comes and goes and you never get it back. And I know that that can be very triggering to people when maybe babyhood is not a particularly easy phase. So my first daughter, I soaked in every moment. We traveled loads. I fucking loved it. There was nothing I couldn't do. You couldn't stop me. I was breastfeeding around the world, taking 30-hour flights, living my best goddamn life. Now, when I had twins, oh, that slowed me down and shut me up, didn't it? Because I was like, oh, I can't do this. I like lost half my body weight. I lost a tooth as well. Lost half my body weight and a tooth through malnutrition. I found it very, very difficult to do anything. And I actually was wishing that time away. And I'm very gentle with myself when I talk about that, because as much as I look at the little baby pictures and I think, that time, it was very, very tough in the moment. And I didn't want to make the most of every minute. It was incredibly difficult having one pair of arms and two newborns. It was very, very difficult. And so I'm not going to say like, oh, savor every minute if you're finding it tough, but give yourself a bit of a break also. There's a fantastic book somebody recommended to me. Let me just see if I can see it on my bookshelf. Yes, it is called Matrescence by Lucy Jones. And actually, I think it might have been Lucy Jones that recommended it to me. I can't remember, but I went on Amazon and I bought it. I'll leave the link down below. Let me just write a little note to myself to leave the book, Matrescence. I'll leave the link down below for it. And that talks about a period in your life after having a baby where your hormones and your very being, your very body, your mind, everything is going through a huge, huge change. So we now know that when women give birth or they're pregnant, they go through the same amount of hormonal changes as we do when we are teenagers, when we go through puberty. That is a huge hormonal change. And we literally are not the same people after. We suffer from so many things like baby brain and postnatal depression, prenatal depression and anxiety, so many different things. And it is all under this term matrescence. And this is the idea that, forgive me, I've not read the book yet, but it's like, I think it takes 3 years to come out of matrescence. And so don't be hard on yourself if you can't figure out your life direction, or you don't know what you want to do with your life, or you don't know what's bringing you joy. If you are in that matrescence phase, especially if you are balls deep in it, if you're like, you know, in the newborn phase, give yourself a goddamn break. Find things that bring you joy and just take it easy. I hope that helps, Nikki. Okay, Mama and Me says, when it came to recording your first episode, how long did you procrastinate, if at all? So I procrastinated on the idea of podcasting for a very long time. So one of my old clients when I used to do lashes and tans, Emma, who is now a good friend of mine, she came in for lashes and she was like, oh, do you mind if we listen to a podcast? And I was like, you go for it, love. Like, what the fuck is this? What's up? What's happening? And she put on a podcast that was called Sword and Scale, and it was all about true crime. And of course, a friendship was born there and then. And we used to listen to it every other week during our lash sessions. And I absolutely fell in love with the medium of podcasting. But typically, as somebody who has a lot of limiting beliefs, especially around technology, although I was able to record and edit and put together YouTube videos about Law of Attraction, I could not for the life of me allow myself to figure out how to do podcasts. Now, podcasting is actually a hell of a lot easier. And one of the main draws to it was that I did not have to wear any makeup or get ready for it. And that just seemed like an utter dream. I could be sitting in naked recording this. You'd never know. You would never, ever know. And so in a way, I procrastinated for a very long time. I could not allow myself to even explore how to podcast because that's just the way that my brain used to work. But when it came to the lockdown, I realized that I wanted to do the Law of Attraction, Change My Life work, but not in YouTube form. I wanted to do it maybe as like Instagram lives or Facebook lives. And I kind of experimented with a few different things until I figured out, no, I need to do it as a podcast. And so I took a free one-day course thing, like how to podcast with my old hosts, who are called Buzzsprout. They're incredible. And ta-da, that was it. I brought it out straight away. I did a little trailer, which was my way of testing, like, can I actually record this and upload it and people can hear it? And guess what? Spoiler alert, it worked. And then I just fucking cracked on with it. So in a way, years. In another way, not many years, like straight away. Okay, questions. Where are we? Okay, let's take some questions from some book club bitches. Emma Kieran says, hi, Fran. Maybe some tips on embodying the person who has your desire. Like, I want to leave my business to the side. Sorry, build my business in the side and leave my 9-to-5. But how do I embody being a successful entrepreneur without telling my boss to stick their job and ending up with no income to pay the bills? I hope that makes sense. It makes perfect sense, Emma. It makes perfect sense. So embodying the person who has your desire is something that we talked about in the book Infinite Receiving in the book club. And Susie Ashworth explains this perfectly. She talks about when you have a desire, when you have something that you want to bring into fruition, you want to bring to life, quite often our masculine energy goes straight to, what do I need to do? Like, what do I need to do next? What do I need to do? What action do I need to take? And of course, action is always important, right? It's important. But that is a very masculine, doing-driven energy. What Susie asks us to do is to think about, who do I need to be? What kind of person do I need to become? And that is very much like more feminine energy. Like, how do I become the kind of person who has my desire? So for me, something that I procrastinate a lot on manifesting is manifesting big love into my life. Big love and a big dick. That's going to be the tagline of that manifestation on my vision board. Big line, big love, big dick, big energy. I really procrastinate on that. And sometimes I get caught up in the doing aspect and I get caught up in the whole thing of like, right, well, I've got to declutter my wardrobe and I've got to go on Tinder and Hinge for like an hour each night and I need to swipe and I need to go on one date a week. It's a numbers game. And then, of course, I get far too overwhelmed by it all. And I think, respectfully, fuck it. Like, fuck it. I do not want to do this. I don't have the energy for it. I don't have the time. Whereas really what I should be doing is just embodying the kind of person who has that big love in their life. And that is really leaning into your divine feminine energy and really just becoming the kind of person that has that in their life. So much of me and who I am is very masculine energy, very hyper-independent, very, you know, I'm running the show, I'm running the house, I'm running the family. And it takes some internal changes to really let go of that. And it's not easy. It's something that you might have to do again and again and again and get used to it, make it become a part of your life. But one more thing I'd say about embodying is, for me, when I embody something, it's about taking actions when nobody else is around. It's about taking actions when no one else is looking. It's about how you treat yourself, what actions you take, how you think, how you are when it's just you. So if you're looking to embody something, then that is where I would kind of focus my energy. I'd focus it inward on who I'm being and the kind of person that I need to be to receive that desire. I hope that makes sense. So for you, if you are building your business on the side and you don't want to go straight to telling your boss to like go fuck his job, which is totally understandable, I would start to do things like take your business a little bit more seriously, have it a little bit more organized, and start to really, in your mind, be like, right, well, this is preparing me now. Like in my mind, there's a timeline counting down to when I am free of my 9-to-5, and this is what I'm doing. And you start to embody being the kind of person that works for themselves and has time and money freedom and all of that kind of stuff. I hope that that makes sense. But yeah, definitely don't go straight in with the old fuck you and your job, because you might need it for a little while yet until you're ready. Okay, my next question is from Laura, just Laura, like Cher. She doesn't need a surname. She says, hi, Fran. I really struggle with just going in circles, losing weight and then putting it on again, building great habits and then just going back to bad ones, etc., etc. Have you got any advice on how to keep on track and keeping yourself aligned with your goals? So I think I spoke about this in the podcast the other week, but I was listening to an episode of Diary of a CEO with Stephen Bartlett, and he had a weight loss expert, and we'll use weight loss as an example here, but you can really apply this to any area of your life that you are looking to cultivate new habits in and new routines. He was talking to a nutrition and fitness expert, and he was saying that 98% of people that lose weight, just like yourself, end up putting it back on, and they just go round and round in circles, and it's like this constant cycle. And what he said was the 2% that managed to make a sustainable, lasting change, what was the difference about them? Well, were they drinking every night? Were they taking crack cocaine? Is that how they were staying skinny? No, it was nothing crazy like that. What they did was they fundamentally changed their identity. They changed their identity and how they viewed themselves and the kind of person that they are. So I recently have been on a health is wealth, hot girl summer weight loss journey. And this is the longest I've ever stuck to something. And this is not an Ozempic style, in a month's time, you'll see me and be like, oh my God, look at Frat. No, it ain't that vibe. This is about really long, sustainable, lasting change. And the way that I am doing this is I'm kind of piggybacking on an identity shift that has worked for me in the past. So I've spoken about this a few times in the podcast, but I really do think it's so important to stress. So my entire life, through school, through college, through employment, I was always the fucking worst. Like, I was the person you did not want in your class or your business because I never showed up on time. I very rarely showed up. I would find all different excuses for not showing up. I would have like chronic illnesses that would manifest because I think I just didn't want to be there. I was work shy. I was all the things, right? I was terrible. And so that was my identity for such a long time, is I'm really lazy. I'm a procrastinator. I can't be trusted or relied upon to get work done. I don't show up on time. I have really bad attendance. And it was only through wanting something badly enough, which was working for myself and having freedom over my time and my money and everything, that I forced myself through layers and layers of identity change and habit making and just fucking doing it, basically, just doing it. I gradually became the kind of person that could rely on myself. And I gradually became the kind of person who I could trust to build a business and retain clients and turn up and do the work and be on time and be professional. And that happened over several years, right? Then as I started this podcast, and more notably the book club, to be honest, that metamorphosis has taken another level. It's gone to another level. I now have such trust respect and love for myself, because I am the kind of person that continually shows up for myself. I will show up and do my podcast every week. I will show up and put my all into the book club every week. I'm the kind of person that is reading a new self-development book every single month, and not just reading it, but embodying it and studying it and taking lessons from it. I am the kind of person that is constantly working on my goals. I am the kind of person that is manifesting things and changing my life for myself, right? So that is a complete identity shift that has taken many, many years. But what started to feel out of sync for me, and a little bit ironic, is that here I was, this self-made person with my own money in my dream house, fully independent with my three little girls, like fucking, I'm not going to be humble here. I'm fucking bossing it, right? I'm bossing it at life. And yet I had no motivation to do any exercise. My diet was absolutely atrocious, and I had a really bad binge eating, disordered eating habit going on, right? And the more that my life improved, the more that aspect of my life seemed completely at odds and completely ironic to be a part of my life. So it started to be glaringly obvious. And so I realized, okay, if I can change the person that I am from being that work shy, late, unreliable person to somebody who I trust myself with my life more than I trust anybody else. I trust myself deeply. If this podcast ended tomorrow, I trust myself deeply and completely that I will be absolutely fine. I will be okay. I trust myself. And I realized I had to transfer that to my health goals. And so I did a podcast about this at the beginning of the year. You can go back and listen to it. I think it's called Tiny Changes for Massive Results. But I did this back in January or February about how I started using the Atomic Habits method to slowly, 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 layer upon layer, build these tiny habits into my life. And I mean, I started really fucking small. It started with drinking enough water. It started with going to bed before midnight. It started with taking my supplements every day. And from that, I started to build on my health goals to the point where I was working with an online nutritionist, and I was doing calorie counting, and I was going on my treadmill every day and doing 8,000 steps a day. And I mean, I know to some people that will sound fucking laughable, but for the absolute potato that I was, that is like a really big change. And more importantly, it's a sustainable change. And so all I would say is you need to become the kind of person that takes their health seriously. You need to become the kind of person who takes the time to work out. And if that is not who you are, and if you're forcing yourself to, it's going to be hard. It's going to take time and effort to change it. But if you start with really small wins, those small wins may feel so insignificant and like they're not going to make a massive change. But what they do is they build that love and trust with yourself. If you say to yourself, every night this week, I'm going to go to bed before midnight because I know that's good for my health. If you stick to that, you will start to build a little bit of love and a little bit of trust and a little bit of respect for yourself, because you are doing what you said you were gonna fucking do. And that is super, super powerful. To do what you said you were gonna do, it's super, super powerful. And then once you start to build that self-trust and self-love, that is where the magic happens, because you can start to bring in bigger goals. And it just, before you know it, boom, bitch, it's who the fuck you are. It's just who you are. So yeah, good luck with that. L also doesn't have a surname. Maybe these people don't trust me with their surnames. She asks how to really get over limiting beliefs. I feel like I always think about and worry about money and I can't let go, and then money can't flow to me. It's a horrible cycle. So we all get held back by our limiting beliefs in whatever area of our lives that it is, whether it's money or relationships or whatever. We all get held.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring.
At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold back by our limiting beliefs. And the number one step is to identify what those limiting beliefs are. So the fact that you are identifying that you are being held back by your limiting beliefs, you're fucking halfway there, bitch. You're halfway there. You ain't got nothing to worry about, because the awareness is the first key. So many people are not even aware of their thought patterns that are holding them back. Now, some limiting beliefs will be easier to get rid of than others, but there is a tried and tested formula for working through limiting beliefs, which we have done in the book club so many times. But basically, as a general rule, we're talking about identifying what those limiting beliefs are, really looking at where they've come from, because that really takes a lot of their power away. If you can identify, oh, that limiting belief comes from that one time that that person said something to me, and then you really analyze that and you say, well, was that person like right? Were they someone that I trust above, you know, myself? Why did I take their opinion to heart so much? And you can start to look at it really objectively and ask yourself, is it true? Like, is this actually true? I think Amanda Francis calls it taking your thoughts to court. By the way, sorry, if I stumble over my words a few times in this podcast, and you're like, oh, friend doesn't normally do that. Normally I edit this, but look, I am very strapped for time today. And so I am not editing this. I'm doing it as a one take wonder. Oh yes, look, she could do live TV. This has been a one take wonder, 34 minutes in. So where were we? What were we talking about? Yes, so you take your thoughts to court and you just look at the real evidence. So not, oh, I think this, or I feel that, or it makes me feel like this, or people might think. No, hard evidence. What are the facts? Like, what are the actual facts of this? And then you can work on releasing that limiting belief through realizing it's fucking bullshit and realizing where it's come from. Now, you can also use additional things like EFT tapping is amazing for releasing limiting beliefs. Quite often we can release something from our mind, but if it's been stored in our body for years and years and years and it's deep rooted, you might need something like EFT to help you to release it. Now, you can learn to do EFT for free on YouTube. There's so many people. Brad Yates is somebody that does it. Oh my God, there's like a million EFT people on YouTube. So go and check it out. List out your limiting beliefs, work through them one by one, use that three-step process, and then use something like EFT to really release it and let go. Something else I love to do is when I release a limiting belief, I imagine abundance, whether that's an abundance of love or an abundance of money, as like a stream. And each limiting belief is like a rock in a dam. And so some limiting beliefs are huge and they're like massive. And other ones are like little tiny pebbles. They're not that hard to dislodge. But every time you dislodge a limiting belief, visualize that rock being removed from the dam. And then a little trickle of water or abundance or love or money, whatever it is going to start to trickle through. And every time you release a limiting belief, you will see more and more coming through until boom, you're hit with a goddamn flood of abundance. And that's really what we're looking for. That visualization is very, very powerful. Something else to consider is that it's very powerful to act in accordance. So after you've done this, start to act in accordance with what your new beliefs are and how you want to attract abundance and be open to the possibilities rather than being very small and constricted. So we can only do this through living, right? How we act in the world, how we interact with others, how we interact with ourselves. So I had a meeting the other day. My accountants scared the fucking life out of me. And they said, Francesca, we need to come to your house and speak to you in person. And I was like, okay. And it scared the life out of me because I had an accountant before them that was not so great. And I ended up having loads of overdue bills. Then I had penalties and I paid huge amounts. I'm just full disclosure here because I feel like we're friends. We can talk about this. I had a bill of over £135,000. And that weren't that long ago. And I paid it. And I was like, so thankful, so grateful. Didn't have any bad feelings about it at all, right? The only bad feelings I have about it is actually saying it out loud to you guys. It's so funny. Like, but actually paying it, no dramas at all. So they came around the other day and they were like, we're still dealing with the like last hangovery bits of like this previous accountant. So I got like another penalty for like this other fucking thing. And then they were like, so you've taken quite a lot of money because obviously I've bought my dream house. I've done a lot of stuff to my house. Long story short, I have to come up with a very large amount of money. See, even as I'm saying it, I'm like, I don't want to say it out loud to you guys, but I have to come up with about £129,000, all for the tax man, by July. And I was just like, oh my God. And the way that they were wording it, like one of them, that they're both like these old white men, you know, you get the vibe, they're in suits, you get the feeling. And one of them was like, I don't really know how else to put this. And I was like, fucking hell, what? I felt like Kerry Katona just before she went bankrupt. And he was like, well, it's 129. And I was like, okay. And I really realized how far I'd come with my money mindset and with my self-development work, because I just sat there and I was like, do you know what? I'm really excited. I love feeling poor. Like I love, this is a challenge. This is so fun. Like this, and they literally looked at each other like I had just smoked a crack pipe. They were like, what? And they were like, you're our favorite client, because most people would like have a breakdown over this. And my mum told her boyfriend after, and like I wasn't there. And when I came out, he said, bloody hell, I've just heard the news about that. And my mum said, yeah, like most people would like top themselves over that, or you know, have a bit of a breakdown. And I was like, what? No, I'm excited. Like, it's a real stretch for me. It's a real challenge. Like, I'm excited to do this. And the way that I know I've really grown from my money mindset work is the excitement is in the challenge of manifesting it, right? Because trust me, I don't have that money. I don't have it right now. It's not even about the money itself. So I'm not that bothered that when I do manifest the money, I don't even get to keep it. Like, I don't care. It's not about the money. I'm excited for the challenge. So not only is it about working through your limiting beliefs, but the thing with money mindset work is embodying it and living it. And when these things come up, approaching it with your new money mindset of curiosity and excitement and limitless possibilities. And, you know, one of the first things I said to him was, sometimes I need motivation. And when I was a single mum with no money, no income, I had the biggest fucking motivation ever. I would work every single night. Now, look, I'm not saying that we should be in survival mode all of the time. That ain't good for nobody. Sometimes we've got to be in thrive mode, but sometimes we get comfortable. Just like when you have a competition come up. So maybe you've got a salon and a neighboring shop opens a new salon. And initially you're angry about the competition and you're like, why is someone else doing exactly the same as me? But actually that competition pushes you to be better. And it pushes you to be motivated to up your fucking game and up your levels. And so when I got this news, I didn't take it badly. Like, I think they were fully expecting me to have a breakdown. And I was like, this is really exciting. This is pushing me and motivating me to take myself to the next level. And I really needed this. So thank you. So yeah, just embody it as and when these situations arise. Janine Evans, one of my longtime book club bitches. Hello, Janine. So she says, hi, Fran. How do I get rid of money blocks so that I can have abundance in my life? No. I mean, I've just answered that one. Not no. Sorry, that sounded awful. No. But the second question is also, what have you manifested in the time you have been doing the law of attraction? Oh my God, Janine, what haven't I fucking manifested? So I have manifested so many things. When I first started looking for an apartment in London, there were literally two apartments in London I could afford. One was in Brixton. And when I got off the bus, literally someone accosted me and wouldn't leave me alone. So much so that I had to just walk into a store and be like, can someone help me, please? Like, I just had to call a random store assistant, my boyfriend, and just be like, hi, Dave. Hi, how are you? Look, this man's followed me in off the street. It was next to a crack den. It weren't for me. And then there was my lovely little flat, which is above a pub, very Peggy Mitchell of me. And that, by some miracle, I could afford. When I went to view it, I could not believe I could afford it. It was completely out of the realm. Not only was it much bigger than anything else I'd seen, it was really close to a tube station. It was share a freehold, which I'd always said I never wanted to buy a lease. I always wanted freehold, which is virtually impossible in London. And it also had this massive roof terrace, which, I mean, fucking hell, outdoor space for £135,000. Are you kidding me? And literally 6 months later, I had the same estate agents out to value it. And they couldn't believe that they'd sold it to me for that price. They valued it at double what it was. So I definitely manifested my apartment in London. I definitely manifested my ex-husband. I put him on my vision board 2.5 years or a year and a half, can't remember now, before I ever met him. I found him on a dating website. I printed out his picture, put it on my vision board. Years later, my friend is walking down the street in London and she sees this really tall guy and she's like, oh my God, would you like to go on a blind date with my friend? She's never done that shit for me before. None of my friends ever before or to date have ever done that shit for me. The one time I get set up on a blind date, I marry the guy. So manifested my husband. What else have I manifested? Oh, the gender of my twins. 100% the gender of my twins. Oh my God, that was one of my favorite moments when I was told I was having boys and I really held the vision and I made a vision board of little baby twin girls. And I wrote a gratitude list for all of the things I was really thankful for in my life and about the situation. And I mean, I'm sure most of you have heard that episode, but basically I came down the stairs and I had a million missed calls and it was the clinic saying, I'm so, so sorry, this has never happened, but we've given you the wrong results. You're actually having two girls. And that was like such a huge manifestation because it's just been my lifelong dream to be surrounded by daughters. And here we are. Manifested my dream house. I manifested this podcast and this career. I've manifested relationships and friendships in my life. I've manifested so many things. But those are a few. Do you know what? There's one as well that I was reminded of the other day. Years and years ago, I used to commute a lot to work. So it's like a 4-hour commute every day. And I did quite a lot of walking. So I had to walk across London Bridge every single day. And this was like 2002, 2003. So ballet pumps were the things, but those things were not fucking waterproof. So every time it would rain, my entire feet would just get soaking wet. Like my shoes would just become like fucking slippers. And then I'd dry them out. And does anyone remember that awful smell when you used to dry out ballet pumps? They were fucking disgusting. Anyway, it became a real bane of my life. And it sounds really silly that this really small issue of like my ballet pumps are getting wet. But when you have got feet that are uncomfortable and wet and smelly shoes, it was just horrible. So I just remember thinking, I just really wish there were like ballet pumps that were waterproof. Well, anyway, fast forward a couple of days, I'm going out to a nightclub with my friends. We jump on the tube and next to me on the tube, it's a really empty carriage, is a brand new Selfridges bag. So I'm drunk, right? So I'm like, let me see what's in this bag. It could have been a bloody bomb. And I'm like rifling through like it's supermarket sweep. I open the bag and there's a shoebox inside. I swear to God, right? There's a shoebox inside. I open the shoebox. It's Ted Baker. And inside are these black rubber. Does anyone remember these? Completely waterproof rubber, like almost like jelly material. Ballet pumps with a bow on the front. And I'm like, fuck me. Waterproof ballet pumps. What the fuck? I try them on and like Cinderella in China White in 2004, they fucking fit. They're a size 6. The more I think about it, that manifestation was wild. Now, did I take the ballet pumps? Yes, I fucking did, because no one else was around. No one wanted them. The universe bought them from Selfridges for me, and they were my size. I was Cinderella that night. I took them home and I wore them every day, and my feet never got wet again. So sometimes our manifestations that bring us the biggest joy and are the most like, can you fucking believe that, are the ones that are not huge life changes, but just ones that you're like, I can't explain that. I cannot explain that. Okay, Trisha says, how do we clear subconscious or conscious patterns so that we don't keep attracting the same thing in our lives over and over? I want to change the frequency and rewrite the narrative of my life. Oh, I love that. Rewrite the narrative of my life. Good for you, Trisha. So one of the easiest way to clear subconscious blocks. So if you have done the conscious work on this, if you've looked at your limiting beliefs, if you are taking action in alignment with what you truly want, it can still be hard to not be affected by some really deep-rooted subconscious beliefs that we have that like take over our fucking bodies. Look, I've attracted the same thing over and over again in my love life. I managed to change every other area of my goddamn life. I really struggle with that area. So I feel your pain. One thing I would say is EFT tapping is really, really good at moving blocked energy in your body and helping to reprogram subconscious beliefs. And the second thing is subliminal audios. And do you know what? I've really got into a bad habit of not listening to mine recently. I don't know why. I've got into a terrible habit of charging my phone at night, and then I don't want it near me while it's charging. So then I charge it in a different room, but then not too far because I need to use it as an alarm in the morning. I'm just in a bad routine. So I need to get back into the habit of listening to my subliminals at night. But I'll leave a link down below for the subliminals. I have them for all different areas of your life, whether it is trying to manifest love, weight loss, health, perfect health, fertility, mindful mothering, present parenting, success, wealth, all those different aspects of your life. There's a subliminal for that. And I would just listen to that repeatedly every single night or whenever you can. It's very, very powerful as you're going in and out of those theta waves, in and out of sleep. That is when we are in our very, very, what's the word, suggestive state. That's when we are at our most suggestive. So we are very open to reprogramming, and that will really work on your really deep-rooted subconscious beliefs that even you may not be aware of. So I shall leave a link for that down below. Kelly says, hey, I find savings so difficult. Every month it goes into my savings account and straight back out a couple of weeks later. Would love some manifesting techniques, advice or mindset work I could do to help me achieve these saving goals. So this is so interesting. When we have done money books in the book club before, or during the first part of my Manifesting Money workshop, we talk about energetic set points. Now, everybody's financial energetic set points are different. And you may be, your low point may be, I'm happy to be £500 in credit card debt or £500 into my overdraft. And my higher end could be, my high set point is that I only really allow myself to have like £4,000. And it's so crazy because when I say that out loud, I'm sure that so many of you will be thinking, well, of course I don't only allow myself to have £5,000. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, of course I would want more. But when you start to delve into this work, which is far more than I could ever go into on a Q&A session that is already up to 50 minutes at this point. But when you really discover those high and low energetic set points, you will realize you have been allowing yourself to operate within this invisible minimum and maximum. Now, once you identify and you're aware of this, you can consciously change these set points. And that is where the magic happens. As I said, it is far too much to go into here. But if you are interested, I have a 3-week Manifesting Money workshop. It actually is at £111 at the moment, and it's about to be revamped and updated and rebranded. And it ain't going to be that price no more. So if you want to get that workshop at that price, this is your last opportunity. I shall She'll leave the link down below. But working on your energetic set points is one of the things that we talk about, your energetic financial minimums and maximums. But it is totally possible to change what those are. And then you will find it easy to not only put money into your savings, but to keep it there. Annie Agabek says, how do you find your core values and what to dream of? I find it hard to find anything that I want to manifest in life. So I truly believe that each one of us has a purpose here on earth. I truly believe that all of us have a vision, a dream, a desire, and something that truly lights us up. And what is beautiful and magic, but also very frustrating about this, is that we're all different. So what lights me up and is my dream is not going to be yours. And so you have to find out what you truly want. Now, it sounds crazy because obviously you think, well, I should know what I want, right? But we've been conditioned so much by our parents, by our religion, by our race, by our government, by our schooling, by our friends, by everyone, that we don't know what we fucking want anymore. And when we talk about self-development work, Susie Ashworth said this in her book, Infinite Receiving, it's often not about adding to yourself and becoming someone new. It's more about uncovering and unlearning all of the bullshit that's been put on us all of our lives and stripping it all back and delving inwards and discovering what truly lights us up and what we truly want from life. Like, it's already there. It's already who we are. We already have the answer. We just need to dig in and discover what it is rather than push out and try and look for what it is. So we are all going to have things that have been pushed upon us. I grew up in Essex where all of my friends were getting married at a certain age and having children at a certain age. That was just what everyone did. Not one of them was like, oh, I'm going to go traveling. Oh, I'm going to set up a business. Oh, I'm going to go and do this thing. And so I felt conditioned that I had to do that same thing. Now, that was a very unconscious decision of me to be like, right, well, I must have a husband by this age and I must have children by this age. And that is a prime example of like what we need to unlearn. We need to look at the people that we've been surrounded with our whole lives and what we've been told we should want and try and let go of that and really look at what we truly want deep down inside. Now, I did do an episode which I feel like I'm recording this all out of sync. So it might be next week. So of course you can't have heard it yet. So you won't know, but I've just done an episode about what brings us joy. And talking about rediscovering our joy, which is kind of what you're talking about, right? Like, how do you know what you really want? How do you know what your goals are? How do you know what lights you up? And the truth is your body will tell you when you see it. So I went on a little journey of looking for what brings me joy and what specifically what exercises I could do that I could enjoy, right? And when I was growing up, I was obsessed with horses. I had 3 horses. I loved it. I lived at the stables. Horse riding was my thing. However, when I tried it again in my 30s, I fucking hated it. Like, I took myself off riding thinking this is going to be my new equestrian era. I'm going to have a horse in the end of my garden. I'm going to live my best life. No, I hated it. I absolutely hated it. So our passions and our things that we love can change. But if you try things, you don't know until you try it, basically. But then I was scrolling on social media and up popped somebody that I know and they had become like some fucking pro pole dancer. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot how much I used to love pole dancing. And I fell down this rabbit hole of looking at all her videos and her journey. And she did written this long post about how like it had really helped her and empowered her and she felt so strong. And I was just like, oh my God, yes. Now I could see that pole dancing video and be like, I'm signing up. I'm doing a pole dancing course and this is going to be my new thing. However, you might look at that and say, that does not interest me whatsoever. Like, so Annie, just look out for little glimmers of when you see something and it lights you up and you think, I'm interested in that. I want to find out about that. Let me try and join that group. Let me try and join that course. Let me try my hand at that. Just look for little glimmers of what interests you and what feels effortless for you to talk about and to get involved in. For me, I am very passionate about, well, lots of things in my life, about being a really present mother. I'm passionate about, what do you call it? I'm so passionate about it, I've forgotten what it's fucking called. Attachment parenting, baby wearing, breastfeeding. I could talk about that all day long. I'm very supportive of Palestine. I feel like that's a real core value of mine. I love Jeremy Corbyn. I'm very passionate about Amy Winehouse. I love her music. Like, she represents my youth. I want to buy her old house. There's lots of things that light me up. I love photography. I love filmmaking. I love documentaries. One of my lifelong goals is to be a documentary filmmaker. That may sound absolutely crazy. Another lifelong goal of mine is to be a songwriter, not to be a singer, because I can't sing for shit. But I used to love writing poetry, and I think I've been put off because I'm not at all musical. I can't play an instrument. But like, songwriting, poetry, filmmaking, photography, these are the things that light me up and I can talk about endlessly. Yours are going to be different, and it's up to you to really just open yourself up and discover what they are. So good luck on that journey. I hope you find what lights you up. Okay, we are almost going on for an hour, but I've only got two questions left and I really want to answer them. So, fuck it, in for a penny, in for a pound, let's do it. So Joe says, how do you stop yourself absorbing negative energy from family and friends? I try to be high vibe and positive around money, wealth, attraction, whereas others may talk from a place of lack or put blocks up. And then Karen has asked a similar question. She says, how do you put boundaries in place with loved ones, such as a parent, when you see them repeating their own destructive behaviours and they're trying to take you down with you? I've done loads of work on myself over the years. I'm an empath, etc., etc. So those two questions, Karen and Joe, are very, very similar. So I really wanted to take the time to answer this one, because you better believe I have got experience when it comes to absorbing or being taken over by other people's negative energy. So the first thing I would say is, because Karen, you talked about a parent when they are repeating destructive behaviors and they are trying to drag you down with their negative energy. So I was listening to a Diary of a CEO podcast one week, and they were talking about if you have a very negative person in your life, and it's, say, someone like a parent, you don't have to completely cut them out, but you can limit your time with them. Now, that may sound like a very obvious and straightforward thing for me to say, and you might be thinking, what the fuck? But it's just very clear. You don't have to cut that person from your life. You can if you feel like that's what you want to do, but you can just limit your time. You don't have to spend every day on the phone to your very negative father, or, you know, spend every weekend with your very negative mother who's trapped in destructive cycles. And no matter how much you try and help them, you know, they don't want to be helped out. You don't have to spend that amount of time with them. You can remove yourself. Now, another way that you can remove yourself, and this kind of goes more to Joe's question about how do you stop yourself absorbing negative energy from your family or friends when you're trying to be in a high vibe, is what I would say is, number one, Joe, you have recognized that they are negative energy, or that they are putting out scarcity mindset. They are putting out their limiting beliefs. And the fact that you are recognizing that is incredible, because particularly you're saying here family and friends, if you've grown up with these family and friends, quite often we aren't even aware that they are speaking scarcity, that they are speaking negatively, that they are speaking about their limiting beliefs. We often don't even recognize that. We just take it as gospel. We just think that that is the truth, and that's how they are, and that's how the world is. But the fact that you are recognizing it is actually your place of power. Now, when you find yourself being around these people, what I want you to do is observe. Now, this puts you in a completely different vibration. This puts you in a completely different mind space. So rather than seeing yourself as getting sucked down with them, this is almost like you taking your self-development work out of the classroom and into the real world. You're on a field trip and you are getting to see what you couldn't see before, which is you are getting to see people's negative mindsets, their lack of growth mindset, where they can't see possibilities or answers, where there's clearly possibilities and answers, where they're limiting themselves, where they are only seeing scarcity. And that is a great lesson for you. That is a great reminder that that's not how you operate anymore. Now, what I've learned from the law of attraction and from self-development work is you can tell people about it. You can tell people about the latest book you've read or the latest podcast you've listened to that has been amazing, has changed your mindset. But unless people really want to do the work, they ain't going to take it in. And it's not your job to change them. It's not your job. It's no one's job. People will only find this podcast when they're ready, when they want to change, when they want to open themselves up to infinite possibilities. So, number one, it's not your job. Number two, observe. Observe, and it will help keep you in that high vibration. Don't get involved with the scarcity mindset. Voice your abundance mindset. That's a great way of like reinforcing it within yourself and reinforcing your new beliefs. And the final thing I'll say is this little analogy of like a boat, right? So a boat doesn't sink because of the water around it. It sinks because of the water that gets inside it. So you can be around negativity. As long as you don't let it get inside of you, then you are a-okay, my friend. You're absolutely fine. Right, I think we'd better finish it there because it has been over an hour. Fucking hell, I don't think I've ever done a podcast this long before. But there we go. There's my little Q&A for you guys. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode. I hope that you have got some value from it. I hope that you don't mind that I have literally done this as a one-take wonder and have not edited it at all. I am pre-recording these episodes because your girl's going on holiday. Yes, she's in Barbados. Please don't rob my house when you hear this, although you can't because I've got someone staying here, so boom, joke's on you. Not that I think any of you would rob my house. I don't think any of you will, but yes, I am going to be on the beach in Barbados as you listen to this, I think, because I don't know what week I'm putting this out, but I think, and I'm so excited. This is truly like such a manifestation of mine. This is such a goal. I've always wanted to go to the Caribbean. I've been as like a child, but I've never been like under my own steam. My daughter is half Caribbean, so I think she is going to absolutely love learning about the culture. We're going to swim with sea turtles. Oh, I'm living my best fucking life. I'm living my dream life, guys. Like, this is what living your dream life fucking looks like. So I'm very excited. If you want to come and follow my journey on Instagram, I'll probably be getting my ass out on the beach because Paul Brunson said I need to appear more single on my Instagram. So I'll probably be getting my ass out. I'll probably be, I don't know, just, you know, swimming with turtles, living my best life. Come and follow me on Instagram. I'm at Francesca Amber, or you can come and follow at Law of Attraction Changed My Life. And I've got loads of like Law of Attraction quotes and videos and stuff over there. So come and find me on the gram. And if you got any value from this podcast, please do rate, review, subscribe, and tell a friend about it. Tell a friend, tag us in your stories, and I'll reshare as many as I can. Tag that you are listening to this podcast, share it. I really do appreciate all of your tags and shares. Thank you so, so much. And I will see you bitches next week. The Law of Attraction has changed my life. It's going to change yours too. Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.